Thank you. So tonight, I want to. I've been praying to God. These 21 days, I have a list of sermons or teachings I want to actually share with the house. But today, as I was preparing myself to minister to you, God has been working on me to just. I came with a prophetic message tonight. So tonight's ministration or sermon may not be like, preaching or it's just a prophetic message. It's just the message for the now that God is sending to you and I today. And I believe that you are going to receive this word. So I'm speaking to you tonight, not just by preaching or teaching. The Lord asked me to put aside that particular topic I wanted to teach and just release this prophetic message because somebody here needs this word. And so that is what I want to share with you. So tonight, I'm speaking briefly on the topic He sent forth His word. He sent forth His word. He sent forth His word, the word. He sent forth His word. And we want to read from the book of Psalms, 107, verse 20. The book of Psalm, 107, verse 20. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So we are reading from which version of the Bible is this? Let's read from okay. I have a lot of versions. I'll pick just a few of them and we'll begin to zoom into it. So the Bible says that He sent His word and healed them and delivered them out of their distractions. He sent His word. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. He sent His word. He sent His word and healed them. Let me pick it again from another version. Let me just pick what I want to read. Yes, so the NIV says He sent out His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. The New Living Translation says He sent out His word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. Then the English Standard Version says He sent out His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh. Then the Berean Standard Bible says, He sent forth His word and healed them. He rescued them from the pit. He rescued them from the pit. Then I want to pick the last two. The Good News Translation says, He healed them with His command and saved them from the grave. Saved them from the grave. Then finally, I want to pick it from. I was looking for my good friend, the Message Bible. I can't find. I don't know if someone has the Message Bible. But let me read the NET, then someone can look for the Message Bible for us. The NET says, He sent them an assuring word and healed them. He rescued them from the pit where they were trapped. Tonight, somebody who is trapped, Jesus is about to release His word. Does anyone have the Message Bible who wants to read for us? The
Yes, Daddy, I
message?
have.
Yes, read, go ahead, kindly.
Okay, he said, He spoke the word that healed you, that pulled you back from the brink of death.
Wow. Kindly repeat.
He spoke the word that healed you, that pulled you back from the brink of death.
Wow. Beloved, I am speaking on the topic he sent forth his word. One of the things you need to understand is that the word of God is very powerful. You know, sometimes when you attend certain meetings or prayer meetings, one of the things when it comes to this prayer deliverance kind of thing is that some people feel that it is only when we are praying that deliverance can take place. Some people feel it is only when we are praying and prayer topics are lifted and we are praying, that is the only time the Spirit of God is moving, and that is the time deliverance can take place. Somebody can fall under the anointing. Somebody can receive the laying on of hands. Somebody can shake shiver and all kinds of things. So people have become so much accustomed to deliverance that happens only during prayer. But I came to realize after reading Psalm 107 verse 20 that there is a certain dimension of deliverance that comes through the word. And anytime God sends his word out, the word brings deliverance from the grave. The word rescues us from the door of death. The word delivers us from destruction. The word is able to save us, rescue us from the pit, and deliver us from all kinds of things. Beloved in the Lord, there is a word that God has sent tonight. And I want us to take time to go deep into the word. Then after that, I will tell you why God sends that word, and then we'll pray. Then if God permits or leads us, then we move into the prophetic. Now, the first thing I want you to understand about the word of God is that I want to speak briefly about the characteristics of the word. So if for those who want to write, you can put it that way, the characteristics of the word. The first characteristic of the word is that the word of God is God. The word of God is God. So anytime you receive the word, you are receiving God. Like right now, you are listening to me, you are receiving the word of God. But you are not just receiving the word of God. You are receiving God. The frequency of God is hitting you now. So anytime you hear the word, you are receiving God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So Apostle John is trying to tell us that there is what we call the word, which is God. The word of God is God. Am I talking to somebody? He said, in the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word, and that word was God. The word of God is God. The word of God is God. The word of God is God. Anything the word cannot do, God cannot do. Anything God cannot do, the word cannot do. The word, if God is omnipotent, then the word is omnipotent. If God is omniscient, then the word is omniscient. If God is omnipresent, then the word is present all the time, the same time everywhere, because the word is God. You see, one of the beautiful things is that when God opens his mouth, what comes out of his mouth is his word. It's his word. So the first characteristic about the word is that the word is God. Number two, the word is creative. The word is creative. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. The Bible says that through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So through faith, we understand that these worlds were framed by the word of God. So in other words, the word is creative. Now, the word framed is from the Greek word katatizo. The word frame in this Hebrews 3:11 is from the Greek word katatizo. And katatizo means to mend, to put in order, to make perfect, to complete. The word frame means to create. So in the beginning, God created the earth, but the earth was formless. Formless, without style, without shape, without design, without outline. But immediately God spoke and said, let there be. There was life. Am I talking to somebody? So there are people whose lives does not have shape, whose life does not have destiny, whose life does not have color. But once the word of God comes into your life, the word is able to create things that do not exist. So there are some of you are trusting God that there will be modification. I came to tell somebody tonight that God is not just going to modify. God is about to create things which do not exist. Is there something you are trusting God for? These 21 days, I see the word of God coming to you, and the word is going to create things that does not exist. Number three, the word of God is prophetic. The word of God is prophetic. You see, the word of God has the past, the present, and the future in perspective. Everything concerning your life is hidden in God's word. Your assignment on earth is planned out even before you were born, whether you accomplish it or not. Now, you need to understand that your destiny is wrapped up in the prophetic word. Before you were born, he said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I had ordained you and I had assigned you as a prophet unto the nations. Beloved in the Lord, before you were born, God had wrapped up your prophetic destiny in the prophetic word. There was a prophecy on your life before you were born. There was a prophetic destiny that was spoken for even before you were born. And as you listen to me today, I want you to understand that the plans of God for your life has already been written, has already been spoken. And it is very important that what God has said must come to pass. So once you receive the word comes to bring you in alignment to what has been spoken already. God has spoken to us by his written word. God has also spoken to us through the Holy Spirit. And so you need to understand that whatever God has said and whatever God is saying is connected to your prophetic destiny. The Bible said that eyes have not seen, ear has not heard, neither has the mind conceived the things that God has prepared for you and I. I want you to understand tonight that the word of God is prophetic. So every time you receive the word, you are receiving the prophetic word which is able to cause things to happen. Oh my God. The fourth characteristic is that the word of God is mobile. The word of God is mobile. And that is what we read in Psalm 107, verse 20. The Bible says that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, now it came to pass at the end of 7 days, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Ezekiel 3:16. Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying. So the word of the Lord came. It means that the word of the Lord moves. Now in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible said, now the word of the Lord came. That is what we call the mobility of the word. The word of God is mobile. So it is not only phones that are mobile. The word of God is It's also mobile. Mobile word. Mobile word. When God gives you a word, when God speaks to you, that word is in motion. When God speaks to you to do something, that word is in motion. The word is moving. The word travels. That is why distance is not a barrier. In the same way, we saw this happening in the life of Jesus, in his ministry, when Jesus encountered a certain young, a certain soldier, Roman centurion, and the centurion said, "Sir, my servant is not well." When you read Matthew chapter 8, you see the story there. And he said that, let's see if I can come to your house and, come and do what I know what to do. But the Bible said, the man said to Jesus, "Lord, I am not worthy to come under, to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. Only speak the word and my servant will be healed." And as we all know the story, as Jesus spoke the word, let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 8. And I want to read quickly Matthew chapter 8. I want to read quickly. Just follow me because I'll be done very soon and we'll begin to pray. God is up to something tonight. Oh, my God. Are you with me? If you are with me, I want you to type the word in the chat. If you are with me, type the word, the word, the word. Type the word in the chat. If you are with me, type the word. Oh, type the word. The Bible says that when Jesus arrived in Capernaum, verse 5 and 6, a Roman army captain came and pled with him and said, "Come to his home and heal his servant boy who was in bed, paralyzed and in pain." "Yes," Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." Then the officer said, "Sir, I am not worthy to have you in my home, and it isn't necessary for you to come. If you will only stand here and say, 'Be healed,' my servant will get well. I know because I am under the authority of my superior officer, and I have authority over my soldiers. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my slave boy, 'Do this or that,' and he does it. And I know you have authority to tell his sickness to go, and it will go." Jesus stood there amazed. Turning to the crowd, he said, "I have not seen faith like this in all the land of Israel. And I tell you that there are many Gentiles like this Roman officer shall come from all over the world and sit down in the kingdom of heaven." My God. The Bible says in verse 30, then Jesus said to the man, "Go home. What you have believed has happened." What you have believed has happened. What you have believed has happened. And the boy was healed that same hour. Beloved in God, some things must happen in your life. But one of the ways God uses to cause things to happen is to send his word. I am so amazed that this Roman officer who was a Gentile just said, "Sir, you don't have to come. Just stand here and say, 'Be healed,' and my servant will be healed at home." What a faith. What a great faith. It means that the word of God can travel. Jesus was standing in one place, but the word traveled. It traveled. It traveled. Those were the days we were not having WhatsApp. It was a typology of WhatsApp that was yet to come. That you can stand somewhere and send a message to somebody far away and it can work. Beloved, Jesus's word travels. The word of God can travel. The word of God can travel. And tonight, God has sent me tonight to tell somebody that if you are in pain, you see, let me tell you this before I move on. When we say the word travels, or we say the word, your condition determines the word you receive. For somebody who has just lost a loved one, if you tell the person you are going to receive money, yes, it is good. But that is not the word the person needs at that time. What the person needs is a word of comfort, a word that will console him or her and bring the person back to the place that they need to get to. So what the person needs is that word, consolation. For somebody who needs money, if you tell the person God is bringing anointing, it is good. But it is good to tell the person that God is bringing money. That word is the word in season. It's the word for the moment. I want to tell you that if somebody is sick, the word they need is not money. What they need is healing. That is the word they need. So depending on your condition, it is a customized word. What you are going through will determine the word you receive. And so tonight, I don't know what you are going through, but I came to tell somebody listening to me, God has sent me here tonight to tell you that he is about to send his word into your life, into your situation, into your family, into your business, into your marriage, into your finances, into your body, into your health. Something about you, something around you is about to change because God is about to send his word into your life. Somebody shout the word. The word, the word, the word, the word. Oh my God. I love the word of God. Beloved, I want us to look at something quickly, then we'll move into, I want to show you why God sometimes sends his word. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. I want us to read verse 24. And I'm still reading from the Living Bible. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Verse number 24. You know that up until now, we have still not talked about our theme. Yes, we'll get there. I'm just preparing us for something big about to happen. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 24, the Bible said, later, the king Ben-Hadad of Syria mastered his entire army and besieged Samaria. As a result, there was a great famine in the city. And after a long while, a donkey's head sold for $50. And a pint of dove's dung brought $3. Can you imagine? The head of a donkey costing $50. How much would that be in Ghana cedis currently? I know a dollar is about 12 cedis. So that's like 600, right? Over 600 cedis. A donkey's head. Then, in verse 26 downward, it says, one day, as the king of Israel was walking along the wall of the city, a woman called to him, help my lord, the king. Then the king said, if the Lord doesn't help you, what can I do? I have neither food nor wine to give you. However, what is the problem? Then the woman said, this woman proposed that we should eat my son one day and her son will be the next. So we boiled my son and ate him. But the next day, when I said, kill your son so that we can eat him, she hid him. When the king heard this, he tore his clothes. Then the people watching noticed through the ribs that he tore them and that what he was wearing, and that he was wearing an inner robe made of sackcloth. Then when he jumped to verse 34, verse number 33, the Bible says, whilst Elisha was still saying it. No, so let me just summarize it to make it very brief. Now, before Elisha said tomorrow about this time, something had happened earlier. Now, I don't want to bore with you with the story so much, but what happened was that the people of Syria and their king decided to attack the people of Israel. Anytime they plotted the attack, the prophet would go and tell the king of Israel that this is the attack the enemy has plotted. So be careful that you don't go to such and such a place, such and such places. Be careful. Anytime the enemy plotted, the prophet will see. I pray for you that anything the enemy will plot against you, may your eyes open and may you see it even before it happens. Now, this thing happened continuously. Then one day, when the prophet and his servant woke up, they saw that, the king of Syria was not happy. He sent the military people to go and arrest Elisha because they realized that Elisha was destroying all their plans. I declare in the name of Jesus, all the plans of the enemy concerning you, your children, your family, your loved ones, let them backfire in the name of Jesus. If I heard an amen, you are the one I'm talking to. If I heard an
Amen.
amen, you are the one I'm talking to. If I heard the
Amen.
loudest amen, you are still the one I'm talking to.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Amen.
So I declare, the Bible said that the enemy, they plotted against Elisha, against Israel. But anytime they plot, Prophet Elisha will see ahead and then he will destroy all their plans. Then the king said, ah, if Elisha is the problem, then let's go and destroy Elisha. So they sent an army. I'm just telling you the story, then I will get to the point I want to make. Now, when they sent the military people to go and arrest Elisha, the prophet, how can you send an army to go and arrest the prophet? What are you talking about? Even what you were planning in secret, we saw it and then we destroyed it. How much more bringing it on us? What are you talking about? So they brought it on Elisha. And when Elisha was there, the servant of Elisha woke up one day and he saw that, oh, the people have surrounded, the enemies have surrounded them. Then he said to himself, Master, Master, alas, we are doomed. The soldiers have come to arrest us. Then he said, hey, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than the enemies who have even come. Then he asked God that God should open the eyes of the servant. When his eyes opened, he saw that they were surrounded with chariots of fire, chariots of horses, chariots of fire, and horses of fire. Then the long and short is that then Elisha led these people through the power of God, held all the military people, and took them to the same enemy they were trying to destroy. This year, the same people who want to destroy you, God will let the same people bow down to you. This year, the same people who say
Amen.
that you will never rise, they are the same people who push you to the top. I'm telling you.
Amen.
I'm telling you.
Amen.
I'm telling you.
Amen.
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 Now, what this is where the story becomes interesting. And you don't have to miss this point. You don't have to miss this point. This is where the story becomes interesting. Now, hear this. Now, the moment Elisha led the military people to Israel's king, who was the one they were actually targeting, the king said, oh, Elisha, thank you. The enemies who have been trying to plot again, now you have brought the enemies to me. Let me finish them. Let me kill them. Then Elisha said, no, don't kill them. Give them food to eat. Give them water to drink and let them go. This thing Elisha did, the king did not like it. How is it that your enemies who want to kill you, God has brought the enemies to you for you to kill them? And when you are ready to the prophet says that don't kill them, give them food to eat. Hey, how can you do good to your enemies? How can you feed your enemies who want to kill you, who want your head cut off? How can you do that? So the king did not like this idea at all. Anyway, he obeyed the instruction because when you receive prophetic instruction, you have to obey. Prophetic instructions are meant to be obeyed. You don't have to argue. You don't have to argue why is it that this and that. No, because the prophetic vessel is standing in the place of God and is speaking as God is speaking and declaring the mind of God and the intent of God. So you don't have to argue. Arguing with him means that you are arguing with God. So the man said, okay, whatever you have said, I will just obey. Then he obeyed the instruction, gave the people food to eat and all, not knowing that the enemies were excited. So one day they came back to besiege Samaria. They came with all their people. And then now there was famine in the land because the enemies have come and they were eating all their food and drinking everything. So this led to famine. And this famine is what caused two women to eat a baby. So there was no food, there was no water, there was dryness. And because of the famine, a woman said, let's kill my son. Then tomorrow let's kill your son. Then tomorrow we'll kill my son. Then the next day, the woman said, well, Dodge, I will not do this one. This is stupidity. I will not do it. So this is why the king was frustrated. So the king said, I will kill Elisha. Because if Elisha had permitted the king of Israel to kill his enemies, then they will not even be alive to come and cause the famine they caused. Are you following the story? So if the king of Israel had killed the enemies who Elisha stopped him from killing, then they would not have come later in the future to cause the famine. So as a result, the king was not excited about Elisha at all. The king said, I will kill Elisha. His own king wanted to kill him. His king was frustrated. The king of Samaria did not know what to do. So he said, I am going to send a messenger to Elisha. Go and arrest Elisha and bring his head. And the king said, don't just go. I am even following you. By the time he arrived, the man was frustrated. He didn't know what to do because the famine was too severe. Human beings were eating human beings. What a shock. What a shock. But as I follow this story, just when the king was about to give up, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 34, verse 33, 34, then in chapter 7, verse 1, Elisha said, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time. So when all these bad things were happening, God was just preparing a word. God was about to send a word. God sent the word through Elisha and said, tomorrow about this time, what you were selling, he said that what you were selling for, whatever, $50, it will be sold for $1. $50 will be the whole economy. Look at, Elisha had not studied economics, but through the word of God, he was able to transform the economy of a whole nation overnight, within 24 hours. If the minister of finance, I am not doing politics, but if the minister of finance came to tell you that we are going to change the economy within 24 hours, I'm telling you, everybody will insult him. But here is the word of God saying that tomorrow about this time, the economy will be turned around. People, no wonder that time the minister in charge of agri, the minister in charge of finance said, ah, master, are you mad? Even if God opens the heavens, can this thing you are saying be? How can it be? How can it? What nonsense? You people, when you sleep, you eat, and you start dreaming. What are you trying to tell us? The guy did not believe it. But the Bible says that what the prophet said happened. It came to pass exactly as he said, exactly as he declared. It came to pass. The word of God that was sent, that tomorrow by this time, the word came to pass. Now, there are four, looking at this story, here's the point. There are four main reasons why God will send his word. There are four main reasons why God will usually send his word. Number one, God will send his word so that the people who are receiving the word will mature in the knowledge of God. Will mature in the knowledge of God. Whenever you receive a prophetic word, whenever you take the scriptures, the Bible, whenever God speaks, the word of God is supposed to help you increase in the knowledge of God. That is why some of us, we have read the Bible and we are reading the Bible. You need to read the Bible cover to cover. You need to, as you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you will realize that you come to have a certain knowledge of God. You get to know God. You get to understand the God that we are worshiping. So the word of God, whenever God sends his word, the word comes so that we will mature in the knowledge of God. God wants you to mature. God wants you to come to the level of God. God wants you to be his classmate. He wants you to rise. He wants you to be up there where he can relate with you. But sometimes we are always down. Sometimes we are not growing because we are not accustomed to the word. Number two, why does God send his word? God sends his word to turn around our famine. As I said earlier, there was a famine in Samaria. Human beings were eating human beings. There was no food. There was no water. That is why God sent his word. So anytime God sends his word, the word comes to turn around our famine. When the prophet said tomorrow about this time, that word turned around the famine. Turn around. So as you are listening to me, God has sent me tonight to tell you that you are in the season of famine. This word that is coming to you today is about to turn your famine around. Your dryness is turning around. Oh, I said your dryness is turning around in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Somebody, your barrenness is turning around into fruitfulness. Your dryness is turning around into great harvest. There are some of you, your business is in a dry season. Your business is in a famine. But God is about to send his word into that business.
Amen.
There are some of you listening to me. Your body is dry. Sickness is attacking you here and there. You are in the season of famine. But that saith the Lord, I am releasing my word. Jesus sent his word, and the servant was healed that same hour. Amen. Oh, Mandala Babaya.
Amen.
Ha. So when God sends his word, it means that the famine is over. The famine is over. Game over. Game over for the famine. Some of you have cried for long. You have wept for long. There are some of you have wept. You see, some of us, there are some people when I see them, or some of you, as you are listening to me, people see you, and anytime they see you smiling, they think that you are all right. But you know you are suffering. I'm telling you, you know yourself that things are not all right. You are suffering. So you are pretending. The pretending is what is covering up. You are covering up so that people will not ask many questions. So that people will not sympathize with you. So as I speak now, some of you are even crying because it's like the man of God is telling your story. It's like somebody has gone to the man of God to tell him what I am going through. And some of you, this is the exact situation you are in. You are always pretending every time you wake up. But when you go back to bed, it's all about weeping. It's all about crying. It's all about tears. And you don't have any hope because you feel that nothing can work. And some of you want to even kill yourself, commit suicide. But I come to tell you that anybody that is in the right season, the Lord said I should tell you that he is about to send his word. And that word will turn your famine around. It will turn your dryness around. It will turn your weeping around. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, I came to tell somebody that your season of famine is over. Your game of famine is over. Game over. Every famine. Game over to every dryness. Game over to every sickness. Game over to every disease. Game over to every disgrace. Game over to disappointment.
Amen.
Number three, the last but one, then I am done. Why does God send the word? Anytime God sends his word, if you read the story I just narrated, you realize that God restored what was destroyed. God restored what was destroyed. God restored what was destroyed. So whenever God says his word, it's because God is about to restore. God is about to restore. It means that something, the canker, the locusts have destroyed some things. The canker worm, oh, have eaten up a lot of treasures. They have destroyed many, many, many things. But anytime God sends his word, it's because God is about to restore what was destroyed. So some of you, your marriage has been destroyed. Your business has been destroyed. Your children have been destroyed. There are some of you, even your health has been destroyed. But I came to tell you that it's a new day for you. It's a new day. Amen. Because God is about to restore what was destroyed. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Restoration night, restoration night. Then the last one, why does God bring his word? Anytime God speaks so that there will be direction. There will be direction. Now, anytime you receive a prophetic word, you are not just supposed to say amen. You are not just supposed to pray. You are supposed to make decisions in alignment with what God said. So when God says that you are going to become a great, I remember when I was in the university at Pentecost University. I remember there was this young guy when we were done with school. You know, this prophetic, we started a long time ago. Anyway, I'm very young, but so what I'm saying is not very far. It's just some few years ago. I just completed some few years ago. I completed school in the year 20, in the university, I think 2011, 2012. Then there was this young guy. God gave me a prophetic word. God said, you will be a great soldier in the Ghana Armed Forces. You'll be a military man. God spoke. Do you know that as I'm speaking now, that guy is a soldier. I don't know. I think he's a lieutenant or so. That guy is in the military now. No, what did he do? When the word came, he decided to fashion his life according in alignment with what God has said. Because if you don't, God will speak, but it is up to you to make decisions that are in alignment with what God has said. If you sit down and say God will do it, nothing will be done. Because God is not a benevolent dictator. God will not say that I am forcing you to do what you don't like. He has given every man his will. That is why the prophetic is not an end to itself. It is a means to an end. So once you receive a prophecy, it doesn't mean go and sit down and just do nothing. But it means that it is time to make concrete decisions. It's time to reflect, plan, think, and make decisions in alignment with God. What God has said, and you need faith to move in that direction. So anytime God sends his word, the word of God comes to bring us direction. The word brings direction. The word brings direction. So the king of Samaria, the king of Israel, did not know what to do. He said that I am tired. Go and even bring that Elisha. Let's kill him. And when he came to Elisha, do you know what he said? If you read 2 Kings chapter 6, the last verse, 2 Kings chapter 6, the last verse, I wish somebody can read for us as we bring it to a close. 2 Kings chapter 6, the last verse, somebody can read it for us. Kubalagatia. 2 Kings chapter 6, somebody read for us if you are with me. The last verse. 2 Kings chapter 6, the last verse, somebody read for us quickly, 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 quickly. Who is reading for us?
Daddy, I'm reading it.
Please read.
While he was still talking to them, the messenger came down to him, and the king said, "This disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Amen.
Yeah. So that statement, why should I wait for the Lord any longer? No, it tells you that the guy was fed up. It tells you that the guy did not know what to do. The king now has accepted that this famine is from God. And he said that now, why should I be waiting for God? Whatever God will do, you should do. He was tired. He was giving up. This is the story of some of you listening to me. You are tired. You are tired in life. You are really tired. You see, tonight, maybe God did not send me to everybody. But maybe there is one person God sent me to. And you are that person I'm talking to. You are tired in life. You are tired. You don't know what to do. You are giving up already. And you feel like when you have gotten to, it is over. But you are that person God is bringing direction. In this meeting, in these 21 days, I'm telling you, if you remain the same after 21 days, then something is wrong somewhere. But nobody under the sound of my voice will remain the same. Because after these 21 days, God is bringing you direction. Direction upon direction. Amen. You are going to receive straightforward direction. Not about guesswork. You are not going to do guesswork. God will tell you exactly what to do in your dreams, through the word of God, through the preaching and the teaching of his word, through the prophetic message. God is about to bring you direction for the next level. Direction for the next level. You are supposed to be a billionaire. You are still where you are. You need direction. You are supposed to win some contract. You are still where you are. You need direction. You are supposed to get a job. You are still where you are. You need direction. And I am telling you that as you are hearing the word of God, God is bringing you direction. Anytime God sends his word, the word brings direction. 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 See, I was telling you 2 days ago or yesterday that one of our sisters, I don't know whether she has connected tonight. I'm sure she has connected, I believe. But she told me, man of God, I had a mild heart attack yesterday. I mean, yeah, all of us came for prayer meeting. Somebody had a heart attack. And this is a beautiful young lady. And the doctors are saying they will do a surgery. And the money involved is even huge. Such a person, what she needs is the word. Not just any word, but the word of healing. This way, you see, the beautiful thing about the word is that the word, when the word touches your body, if you are sick, it is not your ear. You don't need your ear to hear the word of healing. Every part of your body that is sick has an ear. Every part of your body that is sick can hear the word of healing. So if the word of God comes to your body and it is your kidneys, the kidney will respond to the word. If it is your knee will respond to the word. If it is your veins, your arteries, your heart, they will respond to the word. Tonight, God says that he is sending his word. Listen, I don't want to be one of the, I'm not here to make fun. I'm not here to entertain anybody. I am not here to deceive anyone. I am here to do business. I'm here to, and we mean what we are doing. Listen, I told God, give your people a word. And God says that I should tell you that this evening, this particular evening, all he is about to do is that he is releasing his word into the lives of every single person that has joined this meeting. That is the message. So if you are here tonight, I want you to understand that you are not living the same way you came. You are not living the same way you joined the meeting. You are returning. You are closing this meeting because God would have released his word and the word will come to fulfill the purpose for which it was sent. Yeah. For which it was sent. For which it was sent. Now, let's read the final scripture, then we'll just pray. Let's read Hebrews chapter number 4. Let's read verse 11. Can somebody read for us? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Oh, something will happen.
Hebrews 4:11.
Yeah.
I read. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest,
so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience.
No, let's jump to verse 12.
Verse 12. For the word of God is living and active.
The word of God is any two-edged
sword.
And sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is alive.
Listen to the division of soul.
Kadabaya. Uh-huh.
Piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart.
Mm. Wow. So, people of God, you see how sharp the word of God is. If I, when you read my version, the Living Bible, it says that it is sharper than the sharpest dagger.
Wow.
Cutting swift and deep into our innermost thoughts. You see, sometimes some of the things you are going through, they are emotional issues. And even the word of God, when it is released, it can solve emotional issues. Tonight, I don't know, finances are receiving the word. Emotions are receiving the word. Marriages are receiving the word. Your children are receiving the word. Your family is receiving the word. Receive the word of God.
Amen.
Receive the word of God. 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 In the name of Jesus.